But it's a great privilege to be with you tonight to give a word of testimony. And you know, as I would give a word of testimony, I have to confess that it's the Lord's testimony. That there is nothing in me, and Keith Wilson doesn't have a testimony. And I trust that Keith Wilson is dead, but it's his Lord that lives. And you know, it's the Lord, our sister's been singing, people need the Lord, and it's the Lord that we need. And that's all that matters. It's the Lord that we need. Maybe if you've got your Bible with you. We'll turn to Psalm chapter 56. Psalm chapter 56. It says, "Be merciful unto me, O God, for man would swallow me up. He fighting daily oppresseth me. Mine enemies would daily swallow me up, for they be many that fight against me, O Thou Most High. What time I am afraid, I will trust in Thee. In God I will praise His word. In God I have put my trust. I will not fear what flesh can do unto me. Every day they wrest my words. All their thoughts are against me for evil. They gather themselves together. They hide themselves. They mark my steps when they wait for my soul. Shall they escape by iniquity? In thine anger cast down the people, O God. Thou tellest my wanderings. Put thou my tears into thy bottle. Are they not in thy book? When I cry unto thee, then shall mine enemies turn back. This I know, for God is for me. In God will I praise his word. In the Lord will I praise his word. In God have I put my trust. I will not be afraid what man can do unto me. Thy vows are upon me. O God, I will render praises unto thee, for thou hast delivered my soul from death. Wilt not thou deliver my feet from falling, that I may walk before God in the light of the living?" Maybe we could just ask the Lord for his help and a short word of prayer. Father in heaven, we thank you that we have got this open access into the throne of grace by the blood of our Lord Jesus Christ. And we thank you, Lord, that God is good and God is merciful. And Father, I ask for your help tonight in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Will thou give me thy spirit? Will the spirit of God come upon me? Because I believe that the Spirit of God will always glorify the Son of God. And Father in heaven, as I approach that throne of grace tonight, help me to be honest to what God has done in my life. And Father, not to say words that I want to say, but even the thoughts that I have prepared, that Lord, that you would now speak. And Father, that you would even speak unto me. Father, I thank you for this church, and I thank you for the word that has went faithfully out this day. And I pray for Roger in this church, Lord, that you will bless him. And Father, that he would have the reward for his labor in this place. Father, we pray for thy mercy now. Glorify thy Son, for we ask it in the precious, most holy name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen and amen. The verse that I really want to look at tonight is the verse 13. It says, "For thou hast delivered my soul from death. Wilt not thou deliver my feet from falling, that I may walk before God in the light of the living?" The Lord indeed did deliver my soul from death. He did that when I was 12 years old. But do you ever, whenever you come to Christ, I'm sure most people are the same. They feel that they're never going to sin again. They feel that they're never going to let the Lord down. And they feel somehow, as most people do, and certainly I did when I first got saved, and we'll come to how I got saved in a minute. But when I first got saved, I thought, right, I'm saved now. I'll trust the Lord and I'll serve Him, but I'll do it in the strength of the flesh. Do you ever do that? Do you ever try and please God? Do you ever try and work for your salvation? Do you ever try and do right by God? Do you know the Bible says that even our righteous works are as filthy rags before God? And I was a young boy and I grew up in a home and my parents weren't and still aren't Christians. I remember back in 1983 there was a knock on our door. And my father answered that door. And there was an elderly couple. The man had a suit and the woman was nicely dressed. And they were carrying a briefcase. And you know, my mother and father didn't have a great marriage. Their relationship was not very good. And my father, I suppose, was looking a bit of a release from it. A bit of a way out, a bit of an escape. But you see, my father never grew up in a place where he heard the gospel. He never heard that there was a God in heaven that humbled himself, became man, and died for our sins. He never heard that. And you know, it's sad that even tonight that many people come into our churches and they leave hearing the words whereby they must be saved, and they leave a meeting and they leave a place untouched, as if, yeah, that was a nice meeting, but it's not for me. You see, people today don't live with that realization that we have a soul, that our soul will live forever, and our soul will live forever in a place called heaven or in a place called hell. And you see, the devil has blinded the minds of people lest they should come to the glorious light of the gospel of Christ. Many young people, they put it off. Oh, I've my whole life to live and I'll get saved someday. But thank God that even though I never heard the gospel, but behind that door was the couple that knocked that door were the Jehovah's Witnesses. My father never knew his Bible. And as I say, he never realized and he never knew who Jesus was. So he started to study. In fact, my mother and my father both started to study with the Jehovah's Witnesses. My mother knew in the first night that they were apostates and that they weren't teaching the truth. But my father wanted to hear more. My mother would have grown up in a church where she would have heard. It probably mightn't have been very evangelical, but she knew the truth. And she knew that Jesus Christ had died on the cross. And you know, my father, after a period of 4 weeks, my mother stopped studying. They had one study per week. And then they had a major argument. And my father decided to study on. But my mother said that she nor her children would be part of that movement. My father said that that was okay. But surely it would be okay for him as a father to teach his children right and wrong. I've got an older brother and a younger sister. Surely it would be okay to teach them morals in life, such as drink and drugs and sex before marriage and things that would be wrong. My mother agreed. My mother said he could do it. I remember he brought out a book and in the opening paragraph it was Jesus Christ, the angel of God. My mother threw that book away and another bus stop uttered. You know, at that young age, I was only 12 at the time. Sorry, about 11 at the time. But you know, my father was blinded. He was blinded by the truth, the gospel of Christ. And I remember from a very, very young age that I had a desire for God, but I didn't know what to do with that desire. I didn't know that God was working upon my heart, and I didn't know that very soon that the Lord, at that young age of 12, was going to convict me and to lead me to Christ. But 3 years afterwards, after my father first got involved with Jehovah's Witnesses, there was a church that opened at the top of our street. And you know, it was only a handful of people that started that wee fellowship, and there was only five people. They were all elderly. And you know, they faithfully went round those street doors, and they knocked on those doors to get children for the Sunday school. And you know, my mother sent me to Sunday school. And God had been working in my heart, and I went to Sunday school, and I heard the truth. And I remember as clear as day the day that I was told that Jesus Christ, the one that created me, left his throne in heaven and he died on a cross for me. But I remember the tears rolling down my face. I remember our pastor at the time wasn't married. He was in the manse, and they were just renovating the manse. It was an old farmhouse. And you know, my Sunday school teacher took me in, and he led me into the front room of that manse with the tears rolling down my face, and I said, I want to be a Christian. I want to go to heaven. And you know, the Lord came to me and he led me to Christ. And I asked the Lord Jesus Christ to be merciful to me, a sinner. Lord, save me. And you know, at a young age and with very little support at home, spiritually speaking, my mother and father, to be fair, did their best. But there was wars, and little did I know at that time that those wars were spiritual wars, because you can think of a Jehovah's Witness as a father, and a now young babe in Christ, not only just a babe in Christ, but a babe in the flesh. I was only 12, 13 years old. It was 12 years when I trusted Christ, and you know, there was a war that began. And the Apostle Paul told the Ephesians about a spiritual warfare. And there was a spiritual warfare that started in our house. I remember going up to Sunday school, and they were telling me that the Lord Jesus Christ was God. And I believed that with all of my heart. But then I would come down to the house, and my father would say, Keith, if you turn with me, and we'll maybe look at it, it's in John 14. And we'll just read from verse 26, and it says, But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance, whatsoever I have said unto you. Peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. Ye have heard how I said unto you, I go away and come again unto you. If you love me, you would rejoice, because I said, I go unto the Father, for my Father is greater than I. And that is a classic verse for Jehovah's Witnesses, and for those that don't know The Jehovah's Witnesses deny that the Lord Jesus Christ is very God in the flesh. And that verse was a great blow to me. And when I read that verse, I read and I thought, do you know something? My dad's right. He's right. Now the Lord had saved me, but the devil was starting to attack. I couldn't go to my mother. I couldn't go to anybody. And then I went, and thankfully, the pastor was very, very faithful to me. And you know, I pestered that man with verses night after night, and that's not a joke. And I said, well, what about this verse? What's that? And you know what it was? It was just my father was picking verses out of the Bible, taking them out of context, and saying, your church disagrees with this. And you know, it wasn't long before I was ready for giving up. And that's why we read that psalm tonight. It said in that verse 13, for thou hast delivered my soul from death, wilt thou now not deliver my feet from falling, that I may walk before God in the light of the living. You see, I had to learn, and I learned very quickly, that indeed I could not serve God as a Christian with my old nature. Yes, the Lord had made me a new babe in Christ, and friends, I was a babe in Christ, and I knew nothing. And I tried my best. I tried my best to obey God. I tried my best to do what was right for God. I went into school. I used to get up early in the morning. I remember one night at 4:30, I was so convicted, and I got up, and it wasn't good enough that I got up. The devil was tempting me, and you have to get dressed, you have to get showered, you have to go down and get on your knees. And I remember at 4:30 in the morning, crying unto God, and my mother, my father coming down the stairs, they thought I was a freak. But you know, God had his hand upon it all. And God was working in my heart. Then I soon learned, through faithful teaching, through the reading of the Word of God, as I got older, that I needed a greater power. And that greater power was already in me, and I didn't even know it. For me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. The Lord Jesus Christ was alive in me. And the Lord began to teach me, Keith, when you're tempted, when you're tried, when you're discouraged, when you're lonely, I am there for you. And the Lord became not only my Savior, but he became my friend. Dear friends, I then went to university, and I came back in 1999, and my mother and father had divorced. I remember my mother saying the reason she stayed with my father was because she believed that her sons needed a dad in the house. And you know, I don't know whether she did the right thing or not, but she went through a lot of difficult times. My mother turned to God for a while, but then the pressure and the things of her marriage and of her family completely broken up. She then turned to alcohol, and my mother became an alcoholic. And my mother tonight is an alcoholic because of religion. My father, I can guarantee you, would put anybody in this room to shame. He's never off the door. He's always around, spreading the lies of the Watchtower Society. And then as I grew older, I thought, well, you know, I'll be able to show him certain verses in the Bible. And a good verse that's not really one that's thought of, but one that the Jehovah's Witnesses cannot answer, is found in John. In John chapter 1, and it was Nathanael, in verse 46 it said, "And Nathanael said unto him, Can there any good thing come out of Nazareth? Philip saith unto him, Come and see. Jesus saw Nathanael coming to him and said of him, Behold an Israelite indeed, in whom is no guile. Nathanael said unto him, Whence knowest thou me? Jesus answered and said unto him, Before that Philip called thee, when I was under the fig tree, I saw thee." And I remember just recently, as about 2 or 3 months ago, completely led of the Lord, I believe, and I asked my father, I said, "Dad, how did Jesus see him if he wasn't there?" And his face dropped and he said, "You know, we do not know the answer to that. We think that somehow Jehovah God had revealed it unto him." And then I took him back to the verse and I said, "But it says, when thou wast under the fig tree, I saw thee." Doesn't say when I was under the fig tree, my Father in heaven revealed it unto me. Doesn't say that it came from a God of Jesus Christ. It said, "I saw thee." And he saw Nathanael under the fig tree because he was very God manifested in the flesh. Do you know that verse we looked at earlier, whenever it said, Jesus said that the Father was greater than I? I prayed for years for an answer to that verse. Lord, open up my heart to the things of the Scriptures. And the Lord Jesus Christ took me to Philippians chapter 2, verses 68, where he humbled himself to the death of the cross. And he became lower than the very angels that he created. And that Jesus Christ was the one in the flesh was able to say that the Father was greater than what he was. Because fleshly speaking, he could only be on the earth at one place at one time. But by his Spirit, he was everywhere. And he saw Nathanael under the fig tree. What a great God we have. Why was Jesus even saying that the Father was greater than what he was? Why was Jesus on this earth? He was only on this earth for your sin and for mine. He didn't need to be on this earth. There was no other way for to pay for your sin. And our sins have separated us from an all-holy God. But God in love and God in mercy wants to save. And he wants to sanctify. And he wants to make whole tonight. I wonder, dear friends, will you just leave this meeting? I was in your evening service, faithful message preached. Will you just leave and say, "I'll put it off"? Or will you walk out and you look out at that snow, look up in the moon and the stars in the sky? Will you be like Job and say, "Who am I, Lord, that thou art mindful of me, that God cares for me"? You know, time has gone. But dear friends, just in closing, I could take any verse from the Bible and I could do what the cults say, or do what the cults do, and take it completely out of context and make a whole completely new doctrine. But the truth is in the Word of God. And if you, like I did, ask the Lord to give you a deeper relationship with him, Because I can tell you, friends, no matter what work you're going into tomorrow, no matter what school you're going into, no matter what college you're going into, dear friends, that's all for the fire. It's only what's done for Christ will last. And if you go into those places without Him, you're just going into a fire. But if you go into those places with God, if you go into those places with Christ, the one that humbled Himself, and if you would just humble yourself tonight and say, Lord, you know something? I believe. Not as the demons, as we heard earlier, believe, but I believe with all of my soul. I repent of my sin. I turn to God, and I will follow Him. And I trust that if you do that, I trust that if you go and do that, the Lord, by His mercy, says that He will save you. And don't do what I did. Don't try for years to live it in the flesh. But give your whole being over to God. Be like the Apostle Paul. It's no longer I that liveth, but Christ that liveth in me. Jesus said, it is expedient that I go away. For if I go not away, the Comforter will not come. And He told His disciples that they would do even greater things when the Comforter would come. And here we have the very God manifested in the flesh. And He told His disciples that they would do greater things than what He was doing. How were they going to do that? They were only going to do that by the power of the Holy Spirit. And that Holy Spirit that was poured out at Pentecost. You see, friends, it's all of Christ. Whenever Christ was baptized, the Spirit ascended upon Christ like a dove. And if you want the Spirit of God to give you the victory in your life, you're here tonight and you're defeated as a Christian. If you're here tonight and you're not saved, if you're here tonight and you're discouraged, if you're here tonight and you're lonely, if you're here tonight and you're just feel like giving up, it's all of Christ. Christ will give you the grace, the strength, and the power. If you want the Spirit of God, you go to Christ and you trust Him. Amen.